All right. Question of the day. Is it a sin to be left-handed? Huh? You hope not? Okay. I got one, I hope not, but is it a sin to be left-handed?
No.
How do you know? How do you know? Is it a sin to be have red hair?
No.
How do you know?
Because if it was, God wouldn't have made us that way.
Oh, I don't know about that. Don't know about that at all. Is it a sin to walk funny? Why not?
It's not a transgression of the law.
Pardon?
It's not a transgression of the law.
There's no law to say we can't.
What law?
Any law.
Is it a sin to stutter? Do you know that in languages where there is no word for stutter, there is no stuttering? In languages where there's no stuttering, there's no word for stutter. I don't know which comes first, but it is a fact. So I go right back, is it a sin to be red-haired, headed? What if we found a passage in the Bible that says it is a sin to be red-headed?
In the die.
Would that change anything? Would it? Is it a sin to covet? Pardon?
It depends how you interpret the word covet.
Well, then give me a definition of covet.
An agreement.
That's a covenant.
Oh,
to covet.
Oh, to covet. Yeah, I guess it would be.
Is that a sin? Okay. Is that a sin?
Yes.
Well, how do you know? What?
It's in the law.
Oh, it's in the law.
But the law says not to covet thy neighbor's stuff. I covet my wife.
Okay. So we know it's wrong to covet because what?
The law says so.
God's law.
What?
God's law.
God said it. Okay. But it's not a sin to be red-headed because? Now, I want you all to sit for the next 30 minutes and meditate. And at 11:15, we'll have our prayer. And you all will go out and say, wow, boy, that was a different kind of class. But I can tell Roger doesn't want me to do that, so let's go into it. Now, why did God say, thou shalt not covet?
People did not know how to live for God.
How to do what?
How to live for God.
Okay.
Takes your focus off Christ.
Pardon?
Takes your focus off Christ.
Okay.
It's as simple as if you're covering what your neighbor has, you're not happy.
Okay. Okay, well, come back to that one. Now, is God's law, when you hear God's law, God's commandment, what do you think of immediately?
The Ten.
The Ten. Okay. All right. Now, when Cain killed Abel, what commandment did he break? Pardon?
They hadn't been given yet.
What commandment did he break?
He broke the commandment of love.
He broke what?
The commandment of love.
Gotta speak up, a little hard of hearing.
He broke the commandment of love.
Come back to you. So far, you can go over and sit with him. You're all in the good section over there. You never say anything, so I don't have any idea what you're thinking. What commandment did he break?
That shall not kill.
Who said that? I like people that speak up and feel good. Okay? What commandment in heaven did Satan break?
Thou shalt not covet.
That shall not covet.
Pardon?
Thou shalt not covet.
Okay. This whole quarter we're going to spend on law. Don't know how Roger particularly is going to approach it. I think I have a pretty good idea because we've worked together for so long. I think I know how Rob's going to approach it. He's sitting over there wondering what in the world am I going to do with this one today. But we're going to look at law. And hopefully this quarter we will paint a picture of why the law, why it was given, what law, how does it affect us, and what law is the essence of judgment. Because the understanding of law is an understanding of who God is. Now, Jesus came, and in his 3.5 years of ministry, undid everything that the Jewish nation thought about God and thought about the law. By the way, one of the lessons that we're going to look at is that the law, which talks about the Ten Commandments, is the basis of judgment. Now, I come from a teaching attitude like a lawyer. Never ask a question that you're not sure of the answer. So I'm going to go out on a limb. And I'm going to ask Angela this question. And the worst thing she can say is none of my business. But Sue tells me that all the time, so I'm used to that. Angela, you're a teacher. Teacher of the year. Correct? Now, I'm not asking if you do this, but how many teachers teach to the test?
Several.
Right. And what is the motivation to teach to the test?
The state.
Yes. And it is a big motivation. Correct? Right. So, not you.
They're coming Monday to my classroom, the state.
Yeah.
They gave
yeah.
us a script to read and everything.
That's right.
And
see?
I'm not reading it.
Yeah, I know. That's why I know. I know how you think. See? Angela wants to teach for life experience, to help change people, to teach them to think for themselves, to be creative, to work out of the box, to be a thinker. The state wants you to teach to the test so that you answer this question, this question, this question, and then the state can go around and say, correct, look how high our students do compared to those people from Colorado. See? Are we, as Seventh-day Adventists, so focused that we want to teach to the test?
Yes.
Got one yes. So this quarter, I would like for you to just look and listen and come to your own conclusions. And have to be mine, and have to be Rob's, and have to be Roger's. Your own. But I will throw this out as far as judgment. What did Jesus use as the essence of judgment? How did He separate the sheep and the goats? Pardon? How? Yeah. Yeah. In the New Testament, the basis of judgment from Jesus is, how did you treat your brother? Now, wouldn't it have been much simpler for Him to have stand up and said, now look, here's how if you know you're God's people. Number one, you should have no other gods before you. How good did the Pharisees and the Sadducees do on that one? Oh, man. After they came back from Babylon, idolatry was not a problem. We don't see anything before the New Testament in the New Testament where idolatry was a problem. Remember the Sabbath day. Why didn't He use that as the crux? Oh, well, they had that one down. They added 613 laws to make sure you didn't mess it up. No. He did not use a checklist. He said, you want to know how I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats? It's going to be very simple. When I was hungry, these fed me. These didn't. When I was naked, these clothed me. These didn't. When I was thirsty, these said, so what? These gave me water. Now, this group that didn't do anything, they said, oh, if we knew it was you, we would have done it. What's remarkable is the group that did it said, well, I don't remember running across you. The basis of judgment by Jesus Himself is not the Ten Commandments. How do you treat your brother? Now, go back to one of my favorite things that gets me in trouble all the time, but hey. In heaven, where sin originated, we do agree on that, right? Which one of the Ten Commandments did Satan violate? Pardon? Okay. So he violated, thou shalt not covet. Okay.
I guess all ten of them.
All ten of them. Okay.
But he didn't kill.
And then just when did he break that covenant? When did he break all ten of them? When did he break the one that says, thou shalt not covet? What was that time that it was broken?
When he wanted to be like God.
When he wanted to be like God. Okay? And at what stage did that become sin? Yes.
He didn't want to be like God. He wanted to be God. There's a substitute.
Okay.
We're told to be like God.
Yeah. Okay. When did it become a sin?
When he thought it and became jealous.
When he what?
When he thought it.
So the first time it entered his mind, he had sinned.
Not the first time. When
he third time it entered his mind. I really, I'm a frustrated lawyer. You know, I just want to be a lawyer, you know. I want to be a criminal lawyer defending everybody except child pedophiles or whatever they're called. That one, I just take their case and plead them guilty without even consulting them. Then I'd be disbarred. My career would be over, but I'd get one of them anyway. See? Yeah. So when was it? The third time? The fifth time? The tenth time?
When he dwelled upon it.
When he dwelled upon it. When he dwelled on it for a minute? An hour? A day?
When he acted on it.
Who said acted? When he acted on it.
When he turned from God and God's leading heart. Understand what he was choosing.
Okay. Is God's law arbitrary?
No.
You sure? What do I mean by arbitrary?
Unchangeable.
Unchangeable? Are you sure?
Capricious.
Capricious? Man, don't give me them kind of words. Pretentious, I hear, because I get accused of pretentious, so I finally went and looked it up. But I don't know what that was. See? Now, let's stop and think. I do not believe that God's law is arbitrary, so let's get that right out front. But let me tell you, there's nothing more arbitrary than the first commandment. What is the first commandment? Pardon? What?
Thou shalt not have any other God beside me.
Well, man, if that's not self-serving, I don't know what is.
Why?
Why? Hush. I still got 18 minutes. Doesn't that sound arbitrary to you? I'm the only teacher in this Sabbath school that you need to listen to. Pardon?
That's arbitrary.
That is arbitrary. I'm the only God that you need to have in your life. You should have no other gods than me. What's the difference?
He's God.
Pardon?
He's God.
So?
Because.
Am I supposed to just bow down to that because he's God?
He is so interested in the relationship with us and caring for us that is why he demands that from us. It's like with our children. We demand certain things from them that may seem ridiculous because we love them.
Yeah, how many arguments have you won? Well, I don't know about you personally, you generic. That you won by saying, because I'm the parent and that's the way it is. Win a whole lot? I'm God and that's the way it is. That's as arbitrary as you can get. And I don't want you to misunderstand. Number two is, I don't want any graven images in your house other than me.
He's also jealous.
And I don't want you to take my name in vain. Seems kind of self-centered to me.
As a child, if you, the commandments is like, you do this or else. So I don't like that word, is the commandments. But if you say to yourself, if God is love, and if you love me, you will do this.
Right. You go right over there, sit with her, sit with him, over there on that side of the room. You got it. You're right. We're going to come to it. I still have 16 minutes. You're correct. That's arbitrary. If you take it that way. Now let's look at what's in heaven. I want you to picture this. God calls all the angels. Don't raise your hand. Don't say yes. Do you think the Ten Commandments were on a wall, on a tablet, in the temple? Whatever you want. Don't answer it. Just think.
On the iPad.
Now, on the iPad. See? Now, God brings all the angels together. And He says, I don't want you to have any gods before me. Well, okay. Don't take my name. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Yes, angel number 78. What's a father and a mother? Thou shalt not kill. Yes, angel 2471. What's killing? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's and his wife. What's a wife? Do you get the picture? How does those 10 words fit into a society that had no sin?
I think it only fits because God knew beforehand. That's why He said that law.
So how did He answer the question? What's killing?
He said, you don't know.
What's lying? What's stuttering? We have no word in our language for stuttering. What's stuttering? Now, let's move to the Garden of Eden. All my life, since I was 8 years old, I used to sell Bible books. Worked my way through college. 5 of my 9 years of college. I was taught that the tree was put into the garden so God could test Adam and Eve. Am I making that up? Then I was taught, and I used to show it, big, nice picture by Harry Anderson in the Garden of Eden, and I'd say, and God's sin was so bad that God put His angel there with the flaming sword. And anybody that tried to get into the garden, the angel would be there to kill them if they tried to get in. What a picture of God. There was one law in heaven. And that's the law of love. God gave out His love to His angelic host. And they took that love and they enjoyed that relationship so much that they returned that love to Him. And in return, He poured out again who He is, His love, His character, His kindness, His graciousness, His goodness. And they reciprocated. And so they had a continual path called a relationship. There was no need for law in heaven. And then Satan came along with free will. Same free will we have. And then he began to get jealous. Now, got a good question for you. Can sin exist in the sight of God? No. Not His full glory. So if it was sin when it first entered into Satan's mind, this is not fair, why didn't God deal with it? He didn't. And He kept pouring that love out, and Satan kept rejecting it. And the cycle was broken. And then Satan began to go to other angels and say, "Hey, you, have you ever thought?" And they began to listen. And sin entered in when the relationship between God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and Satan was rendered. And it was beyond repair that finally Satan left heaven to go to the other worlds and present his case. And a third of the angels went with him. Thou shalt not kill in heaven made absolutely no sense. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife meant no sense. Now, I always like it when Bible backs me up and Ellen White backs me up. Bible first. Go back and read definitions of sin in the New Testament. Sin is the transgression of the law. The text does not say that. The text says sin is also the transgression of the law. A much better definition by Paul is in Romans that says that which is not of trust is sin. When that relationship is broken, that is sin. Because God can do nothing else but appeal and love and not. One of the great passages that I've read, Plan of Redemption, was that Satan, after he had sinned, had gone around, he caught an angel and said that he wanted to talk to Jesus. And it says that he went and told Jesus he was sorry for what he'd done. But his acclamation of what he'd done was not built on true repentance. It was built on the consequences that he was to suffer. And one of the most beautiful pictures, it says that Jesus put his arms around Lucifer and he wept over him. And then we come to the children of Israel. When they left Egypt, what were they? Slaves. What was their education? And finally God says, will you follow me? And they said yes. And he said, come to the mountain. And it's there at the mountain that he gave the Ten Commandments. We interpret them that God said, all right, if you want to follow me, then here are the rules. Thou shalt not have any other God before me. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy. Thou shalt do this. Thou shalt do that. He put all of those into reference. Even if you take it that way, what was he working with? Little children. How many of y'all brushed your teeth this morning? I better ask it the other way around. Who didn't? Why? Why did you brush your teeth this morning? Why? Because your parents told you when you was 4 years old you better brush your teeth every morning?
She still tells me.
Poor Roger. No. Somewhere along the line you became, it made good sense. That's all God is trying to do with His. And then Rob came along and shared with me, and eventually in our Knowing God's ministry, the Ten Commandments written in the future changed everything. God arbitrarily didn't say, you better not have any other gods before me. That's arbitrary. That's self-centered. You can interpret it any way you want to. No, what He said was, once you get to know me, you won't want any gods before me. Once you get to know who I am, why you wouldn't even think about using my name in vain. Once you have that relationship with me, you'll appreciate the fact that I gave you a day to get away from the world. Be with your family. Be with me. Be with your brothers and sisters. Oh, you certainly honor your mother and dad. You'll do the right thing. Why you wouldn't even think about killing a soul? I died for them just like I died for you. Once you know me, you're not going to want to covet what your neighbor has because he doesn't have what you have. Makes all the sense in the world. The law of love in heaven. And I'm going to challenge your thinking. Do you think for 1 minute when we get to heaven the Ten Commandments are going to be plastered all over heaven to remind us that we should not kill, that we should honor our father and our mother, and that we better not have any other God than Yahweh? Ridiculous. In this quarter, you'll see a statement that one of the three of us will have is the law was added because of sin. Now, in high school, I took a foreign language called English. We are taught that in the last days, the focus of being God's people is going to be what? Come on. Keep the Sabbath. Right? Now, if that's true, and we want a witness, and we're going to teach to the test, what are we going to talk about? The Sabbath. And you'll see in this quarter that there are some who are afraid that if we get away from the fact that the law is the law is the law is the law, that we're doing away with the concept of you have to keep the Sabbath in order to be saved. So in English I learned that there's a subject, a verb, and a direct object. We've made the law the subject. If you keep the Sabbath, then the direct object or the indirect object, whichever one of those stupid things are, is going to be God. If we keep the Sabbath, we're one of God's people. Wow. Those people crucified Christ when He came. The subject, the middle, the story, the book, life is about God. And when you get to know Him, then the Sabbath becomes part of that experience. And what a great day it becomes. We want to teach it just the opposite. Eat the right things. By the way, we love to say, well, the ceremonial law is done away with. But now you better not eat pork because that wasn't done away with. So what we're going to see is that all law leads to Christ. Whether ceremonial or the Ten Commandments, they're in the same boat. Go back and read 1888 experience. It's where the church split over that. We're accused of picking and choosing. Well, we are. We do. We do pick and choose. God is the sinner. He was the sinner in heaven when there was no law except the law of love. The law of the relationship. Satan broke it. He chose to break it. Cain and Abel to sit there. Do you think that the sin was that Cain killed Abel because he broke a commandment? The sin was, look what it did to Cain. Look what it did to Adam and Eve. That's the sin. It's the consequence of the act within itself. So I hope this quarter, as we study law, that if nothing else we keep, that God is the sinner. There's no law that says it's wrong to be red-haired. If there was a law that says red hair is wrong, it would be arbitrary and stupid. Don't put God in that same category. My Father, oh, how You love us, how You care for us. We're thankful that we can come together as brothers and sisters and discuss. Sometimes we all don't agree, but that's fine because we find You as an individual, not as a class, not as a church, not as a denomination, but simply as a person. Give us a blessing today is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.